This is the Pacifica National Programming Committee, August 9th, 2020, Sunday. And my name is Nancy Saibara-Naritomi. I'm the chair pro tem, and I'm calling this meeting to order. It is now 1:23 Eastern Standard Time. Okay, I'll call the roll. Shiran?
Yes.
Of KPFA, thank you. You're here. Jack Devine of WBAI. Jack, I do not hear you. Janine Etter of KPFA.
I'm here.
Janine is here, thank you. Heather Gray from WFRG.
WRFG, actually.
Oh, sorry. I'm so sorry.
No problem. I'm here.
Atlanta, Georgia. WRFG. Heather
That's right.
Is here.
Radio Free Georgia.
Radio Free right. Georgia. Sabrina Jacobs of KPFA. Sabrina, I do not hear you. Wally James from KPFT. Wally, I do not hear you. Michelle Manos from KPFK. Michelle, I do not hear you. Thomas O'Rourke from WPSW.
I'm here, present.
Thomas, present. Lucille Perez from WPSW.
I'm here, present.
Lucille, present. And WBAI, Sharon Salam?
I just said I was here.
Oh, I'm sorry. This is a real
call. Did you call me twice, or did you call someone else that has a similar name?
No. Shiran, and you're Sharon. Okay. All right.
Also, okay. I answered twice.
Okay. Oscar Uyova. From KPFK.
Okay, I'm here, here.
Oscar's here. Okay. Polina Vasiliev, KPFK.
I'm here.
Present. Polina, present. Polina Vasiliev is present. Let's see. Sanford Weinman from KPFT. Sandy, I do not hear you. Ralph Pointner from WBAI. Ralph, I do not hear you. Okay, we've got... I forgot my name. Nancy Saibara-Naritomi from KPFT. I'm here. So we've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Okay, quorum is established. Let's see, next. What is next? We have, somebody put this. Oh, I wrote it down somewhere. Okay, minutes. Would you like to pass the June 28th minutes? And, when it's been done quite some time ago, but let's see. Not everybody was on. I don't think Thomas and Lucille were on at that time. Those minutes are ready, and they've been sent. See, today, earlier, I sent the July 26th minutes. If you want to pass them or if you want to wait a little longer, if you haven't had time to read them. But anything we pass can be amended later. Now, the July 12th, where we had some updates and talking about the fundraisers, and we talked, we did some introductions the second time, actually, but we had two new members. I have not done those minutes yet. I'm sorry. Those are not ready, but the June 28th and the July 26th are ready. Is there a motion to move, pass or wait, or
Polina. This is Polina. I would move to approve both of the sets of minutes.
Okay. Are there any objections? How does everybody feel? No objections? Really? Okay. So June 28th minutes are passed, and July 26th minutes of this year, 2020, are passed, and the July 12th will be needing to be done later. Okay, thank you. Next is the agenda approval. Did everybody have time to read the agenda?
No.
No? Okay,
yes.
Thomas.
I didn't. Let me find it.
Okay. This is Sharon. I was dropped. I'm back.
Oh, okay. We passed two minutes, June 28th and July 26th, and July 12th is not ready yet, so we did those minutes, and then now we need to come to the agenda approval. Thomas has not read the agenda yet. I'm sorry. I think I sent it a few minutes. Maybe 15 minutes.
I moved. This is Lucille. Acceptance of the agenda.
Okay. Are there any objections?
Well, where exactly did you send it?
I sent it to your email.
I'm looking at 12:42 p.m. My time. So, but I'm looking at it now. It looks okay.
You're looking at it? Okay, let me see if I can find it.
12:42 is when I got it.
That's Eastern time.
That's New York time?
Yeah, okay. D.C., New York.
Okay.
Sharon, if you don't have that, would you let me know later? Because I would like to make sure I
Okay, go ahead.
Email.
Huh?
I would like to make sure that I sent to the right email address, your address. I don't want to say it on the air. All right. Next is, so is that okay if we approve this agenda? No objections? Okay, the agenda is approved. Thank you. Let's see, who moved to approve the agenda? I can't remember. Lucille did. Okay, let me write down. Thank you. All right, next is the... nominations and elections for chair and secretary. I'd like to open the nominations for chair.
Well, I'd like to nominate
Nancy. Here. Oh yeah.
I'd like to nominate Nancy.
I know no seconds are necessary in committees, but yeah, I would second should that be necessary.
Who said what? I did. There's two people talking.
Sharon said I'd like to nominate Nancy.
Okay,
you're doing an excellent job, Nancy. Excellent.
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
I'm glad.
And Paulina said I would second if a second was necessary.
Well, in committee, seconds are not necessary.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's right. Okay. All right. Are there any other nominations? Because really, I would like anyone who wants to chair to be able to chair. Then everybody can see how that person chairs, and then, you know, not just have an election without seeing how people do it. Are there any other nominations? No? Okay, you might change your mind later. All right. Thank you, Siobhan. I accept. And next we go to secretary. Are there any... volunteering or nominations for secretary? Really? Okay, I will nominate myself then. Is that acceptable? Are there any objections?
No.
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 Okay, and please, any kind of criticism is welcome. If we can improve things, I'm really happy to hear that. All right. Next will be, so thank you, and thank you, everybody. And next is, I accidentally touched a key. Let's see, next is, where is it? Next we go to, I put the new business that we had at the last meeting. I put it at the top since we did not have time to even touch it, but Thomas did send us some really remarkable legislation that the WPFW-LSB did in 2015, I believe, and I resent it to everybody so they could look at it again. May I suggest that Thomas and Lucille give us some main points to what was happening in case some people did not have time to digest it?
Yes.
Can you do that, Thomas?
Yeah, let me call him in front of me. Oh, one sec. I've the programmer, Bill of Rights. I'll tell you this. These were created. I wasn't on the board at the time. I know that there were a group of... people at PFW that, among others, Star Bowie, who's no longer around or not at the moment, a woman, Esther Iverum, with whom I'm volunteering on her news program. Anyway, they called. It took. It was a process of sort of looking for information from around the country, and they basically drafted what they thought, you know, would be sort of an optimal Bill of Rights for both volunteer and staff and programmers. Let's see. Work environments, training and evaluation are dealt with. I'm not familiar with them enough to be able to characterize each and every one, but they cover, let's see, worker environment, training, equipment and support. I will say this at the same time, we're apparently a committee is being formed at PFW to address, and they really haven't gotten off the ground, but we've had some incidents, as I've mentioned, between the programming director and some programmers where one was suspended, and basically a committee's being formed to try to govern how people relate to each other because it's sort of an age-old problem at PFW. There's, you know, people get upset at how people express things. You know, sometimes they go overboard with, you know, sort of personal attacks, or maybe people are very sensitive and looking, you know, and trying to make things personal, and they sometimes do. In any case, it's being discussed, and we're trying to rectify, but that within the station, I personally, as sort of a political veteran, am sort of used to how people, you know, talk in political meetings, and sometimes it's heated, but, you know, it does turn off some people. I wish I could be more detailed. Let's see, the complaint and grievance procedure is a separate thing that covers, and it says draft all over it, and informal, how to handle informal complaints, discusses in terms of grievances, steps one, step two, and even a step three.
This is Paulina with a question.
Yeah, go ahead.
Thomas, did you email this to?
Some time ago. Nancy, I'm looking at this, what Nancy sent back earlier. It just happens to be attached. Let's see. Nancy sent hers to me at 12:46, and
okay,
it's titled. It's titled WPFW LSB addresses reforms for programmers. So it's there.
Hold on, and that's
okay.
An email as well?
Yes, and three attachments in that email from Nancy. So again, 12:46 is when I received it.
Just found it. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
Thank you,
and then
Thomas,
the third document, just let me, just as an overview, the third document is a resolution, proposed policy on roles and procedures regarding programming evaluations, grid changes. That's dated from December 15. And just long and short of it, this was, well, between this and some other things, there was so much controversy at PFW around the programming director, who was at the time interim program director, that, and I was on the board, I was on the program committee in 2016.
Thomas, thank you for not mentioning names.
Okay. Well, let's put it this way. It was, these were written and the drafts were completed in December of 15. They were not passed by the LSB until September of 16. So there were several delays. In any case, they were passed. And to my knowledge, they have never been implemented, and we're still trying to find out from management what their intent is to be, and we're going to have to take it further. If their response is we've done nothing about it, we're going to have to, you know, make sure that these get implemented.
Well, one thing, this is Sharon Salam.
Yeah,
one thing I think is that,
thank you.
Oh, Ralph.
Hey, how you doing? It's a long
now,
day.
One thing, I'm looking at this a little bit. I'm trying to look quick. I'm not looking quick enough, but I don't know if there is a place in there or in here where it states that the programmers and, you know, the volunteer staff and whatever would meet every 2 months or so. So that you all have some sort of an interaction between what is going on, improvements, what needs to be done here, what needs to be down there, you know? So you
yeah,
get everybody kind of a head up. Is are you talking like that in there?
I don't believe it's there because, and I'll, was that Sharon who said this?
Yes, Sharon.
At BAI, hi. I suspect they probably would have said, I suspect the logic of leaving that out is that's sort of how station management conducts its business. I know the programming programmer meetings are few and far between at the station currently. They are basically, programmers have told me they get Google, there's a Google listserv that emanates from the programming director. They find it difficult to communicate with each other, but as far as regular meetings of the programming or programmers or staff, those are not taking place regularly. And I don't believe they're mentioned in these documents because they probably would have said that sort of, you know, management operations were concerned about programming Bill of Rights. You know, I could see why it would be left off.
Mm-hmm.
You're right to note that it doesn't exist there.
Yeah, Thomas, let's try not to do motives. Let's just the facts.
Okay.
And
this is Paulina.
Yes.
This is, yeah. If I may be recognized. Thank you, Nancy. So, as a volunteer programmer myself at KPFK in Los Angeles, I think it's important that the proposal that comes out of this committee for a national, you know, Bill of Rights and grievance procedures. That it involve, that it include volunteer programmers, and even if that is not, you know, standard procedure at stations currently, because that is exactly the grievance that we as volunteer programmers have expressed on numerous occasions to our program directors and management in general, without naming names, because. You know, there are, it's a tier system in a sense. You know, management has a communication channel with, obviously, with paid staff, because paid staff have to respond, but volunteer programmers actually don't have to. And I think it should be a two-way street. I think that anybody who is on the air should have the responsibility to respond to management, and management should have the responsibility to respond to anybody who's on the air. And let's see how we can formalize that.
This is Sharon Salam again. So you're saying the topic at the top where it says volunteer staff and program is not inclusive enough to include also the volunteer programmers.
Oh, sorry. I haven't read it yet. I'm reading it as we speak, and perhaps it is inclusive enough. I will look at it, and I wasn't saying it was not. I'll check it right now, and we'll respond.
Oh, okay.
We might need to
look at this possibly to read through it and bring it, put it back on the agenda for our next meeting.
Oh, yes.
So that everybody gets an opportunity to read through it.
So move, Lucy Perez.
Also, I'd like to encourage all of us to reach out to programmers and past programmers, people with lots of experience, and especially those who have lost their shows. I know one program who lost 11 shows each time he got on the show, but he got a lot of good training and became very, very, very good at it. He was able to teach other kids too. So a lot of people who suffer have much more deeper experience and to share. The only thing is I offer my postal box because I really would like people to be able to input without, you know, input anonymously. So I will, anyway, and anybody else who has a better idea, I would like, welcome that. The thing I liked about it is that I remember, because I read it through really quick, there's a timeline before a show dropped. Lucille or Thomas, do you want to express that to the group? I think it's
well, I believe, Lucille, you there? You want? Can
go
I
on,
go?
Thomas.
I would only assume. I remember there was basically the principle of escalating discipline, the notion that someone isn't automatically suspended after a first violation, and the you know these violations can you know range from generally they involve things like attempting to fundraise on the air outside of you know. Management authorization. They can include, you know, profanity and on-air behavior. But in essence, it's like, you know, like a good union contract that covers grievances. You would have escalating procedures where, you know, warnings and then verbal warning, written warning, and then it goes further. I could be completely off base, but that's my impression. I hadn't read this.
Okay.
Sorry. And if obviously if it's not really adequately spelled out, that's something we could, you know, we could amend this too. But as everyone has been told, these were passed by LSB and others. And by the way, Nancy, I did get your 2013. Programming council motions, and I don't know if when we do pick up this discussion again, if there's some way to people will have read those and you know incorporated what those attempted to do. And I'll say this: my last thing I'll say is I heard the one meeting I was with Jim Dingman, and he mentioned that during the meeting that. Ultimately, after long experience, program directors at individual stations, he characterized them as ultimately benevolent dictators. Now, I'm not sure I accept that, you know, that it is what it is kind of thing, but programming directors do have a lot of power vis-a-vis programmers, and this, of course, was an attempt to, you know, sort of at least stand up for programmers, in that relationship, but he did say that, and maybe that's you know sort of where Pacifica has ultimately come out in these struggles. The programming director being, I suppose, the most professional of the people involved, sort of gets you know gets properly gets you know consideration since they're paid to handle these things, but they do have to you know. They can't become malevolent dictators, I guess. What's the point of that being? I'll shut up. Yeah.
Anybody else want to opine?
Yes.
Sharon.
After Sharon. I spoke already.
Okay.
Well, let me just say this. Along with this, I can also see something that goes along with the, like you have here, the Bill of Rights. There's some sort of piece that explains what their do's and don'ts are. I don't know if that's all in this piece. You know, like you spoke about the profanity and other types of things that get people in trouble. So
yeah.
That might be a piece that doesn't necessarily have to be in the Bill of Rights, but it could be a partnering piece that goes along with you have, you know, these are some of the things that would get you suspended or get you in trouble or heighten your show ability or whatever so that people know in advance because by the time they are being notified regarding whatever it is they did one way or the other, you know, the ship has already started sailing out to the sea. Whereas if you know up front that you are restricted from this, then when it happens, it's easier to, you know, get ready for the penalty or the notification of what goes.
Sure.
This is Bolina, if I may.
Yes.
Whenever.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
So,
if you're finished. Yeah.
Sure. So, the National Board recently revised programmer's manual, which should be a national document, and it governs, you know, basically tells programmers what they can and cannot say or do on the air in order for us not to lose our license. And I believe that document has been circulated around the network, and I think that's the you know, that is the current state of affairs, and it should be it was revised to be in compliance with the FCC rules and regulations, so that's something that all programmers need to abide by, so as not to, you know, not to endanger our licenses with the FCC, and so on and so forth. And that's what we live by. Now with the reason why it's so important to make sure that we also implement some kind of training for volunteers or for anybody who is, you know, who goes on the air, is because as community radio stations, of course, we bring on a lot of community voices, and often we will very gladly bring on inexperienced programmers, such as I was, say, I don't know, four years ago, five, when, you know, when I started going on the air, I had no idea, and it's so important to have that readily available. And now, especially in times of COVID, it's all electronic, right? So maybe a hub for, maybe like a folder, some place where you can direct your recruits, right, as a programmer, say, hey, so this is where all the documentation is. So make sure you read that before you ever go on air, right? So, and sign somewhere, something to that effect, I think would be very helpful. But also going back to what we were talking about prior to this, once we as committee have read everything that Thomas has provided and everybody else, and that when we're ready to pass a motion suggesting, right, because we're obviously only advising, the PNB to pass, let's say, a motion, requiring to approve a programmer's bill of rights, and so on and so forth. That we also include a suggestion to have a readily accessible, easily communicable, communicable way to share that information. This is what this is what specific
point of information
requires, and that's it. Thank you. Mm-hmm.
Point of information, Paulina. You said the PMB has circulated recently a programmer's manual.
That's correct. Yes. Yes. Mm-hmm.
And somehow we should have this as well. I've never seen it.
We should. It's a committee. Yeah, absolutely. Let me look for that. excuse me. I'm actually right now. I'm a little bit uncertain whether it was a local KPFA programmer's manual or if it was a PMB programmer's manual. General for the network. It may have been a local one. In that case, then
it's a completely different issue. Let me double check and get back to you on that.
Okay.
As we're on this, I think that's of the essence. Because from wanting to micromanage patients, we just need a standard, right? I mean, we need a standard for all the stations so that we can avoid the kind of conflicts that result locally from, program directors doing their thing that, of course, they're hired to do. And programmers being upset. Of course, as a programmer, whether paid or unpaid, you will be upset if your show is canceled. There should be, like we said, right? There should be a grievance procedure and a clear way of dealing with these issues, where we, as committee and the board, the national board in general, is not looking for. To micromanage and to tell, program directors how to be more benevolent as dictators. at least respect the rights of people who donate their time or are paid for their time, as any good union would do. So I think that's exactly right, Thomas. I think your perspective on this is completely correct.
To which I would add, that was Jim Dingman's characterization, and I was repeating it,
okay.
Not necessarily mine.
No. I was talking about your perspective. You said that we need to have the perspective of the worker.
Yeah.
And help and help to make sure that. Volunteering or working for Pacifica is, is a good experience, so people actually want to do it. conflict resolution policy, right? If I interpreted you correctly.
Sure, sure.
Yeah, I just have one question regarding the training. Because I know at WBAI we are kind of strapped for funds. So maybe after I read it, it'll talk more about how the person is going to be trained. Is there a need to hire someone to do this kind of training? Is it a video piece that will be put together for the training, or how the training will work?
It's what's in the Bill of Rights is pretty general and vague. I'll say that, and sort of aspirational. That's as far as I'll go. I mean, yes, every station has trouble with that in terms of, you got people that know how to do things, but they're busy doing it, and to ask them to train others is, an additional burden. How do you compensate them, whether it's, whether it's money or something else, it has to be thought through.
Right, and it's really like it's more than just how do you compensate them. How do you resolve this issue?
Yeah, of course.
Regarding
of course.
People coming in, and you're saying they need to have some sort of training. How do you resolve that so that they can get what they need to function properly?
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
That's something we can think out.
I think the intent, and correct me if I'm wrong, is to have a just or unbiased way of interacting with programming that is institutionalized across the network. Am I correct?
Or mandated,
Paulina
agrees. Paulina agrees.
Say that again?
Paulina said she agrees with you.
On the specificity of what the training would be, which would be another leveling of the playing field, all programmers, be they volunteer or paid, would be evaluated and judged on the same standards. So this is a, so everything else would be that this programmer did not meet the standard. And there would be a consistency across the network in the responsibilities and the interaction between the program director and the programmers of their station, correct? That's the direction that we're moving into, not the specificity or how the training would occur. That the tone of what we will be reading these documents again to see how it can go across all of Pacifica and meet the needs of the paid and unpaid programmers and their interaction with the program managers, the program director, and the station manager. Correct? That's
well, I don't necessarily think that that's correct, because if you are telling them to do something and there's no means, funds, or whatever to get it done, what really have you accomplished with that piece in there?
That the specificity of the training then would have to be it's the curriculum, and how it is dispensed would become a Pacifica situation and a Pacifica responsibility.
This is Thomas to the set.
Okay, Thomas. Thank you. Try to say your name, your station, for people that are joining. They don't know. We know each other now, but people don't know.
Okay. Thomas O'Rourke from PFW in D.C. I will, a little background. As a member of my station's programming committee, we are at this point going back trying to invent, trying to help without even their knowledge necessarily, our program director, create some program evaluation tools. I did a brief search, and anyone can do this. Type in Google radio broadcasting rubric, R-U-B-R-I-C. It's a teaching term that basically you create a you know, a set of evaluation matrix. We're at that point trying to help them create evaluation tools to, you know, to sort of consistently evaluate public affairs programming, music programming, and things that are you know, length of program, quality of sources, creativity, time management, quality of presentation. These are the sort of the categories of, you know, of quality that you would be looking to evaluate. Obviously, and ultimately, this could be something that each programmer themselves uses to sort of consistently or sort of monitor how consistent they are. But yes, we're sort of at this point kind of trying to invent, you know, the most basic things. I'm sure stations across the network have these things and use them frequently. But the way what I'm hearing from most people is, a lot of this stuff might have been implemented some time ago, but a lot of it seems to have fallen by the wayside in terms of sort of consistent, you know, regular training and program evaluation. Like I said, ultimately you want the programmers themselves to fill out the rubric at the end of their show and ask themselves. It's the best way for, you know, real self-improvement. In addition to a program director or a programming committee using this to sort of spot check programs across the grid. I will, as soon as we have something that's for our committee, I will forward it to this committee as a way to, you know, so to keep you all informed of that. Okay.
Mm-hmm. This is Nancy. I'd like to put myself on the stack for request for information. Request for information, I'm the only one, so I go. Anyone on this committee or listening has some kind of training manual or training manual handout or an evaluation checklist. I think it would be very good for the committee to see that, and maybe we can consolidate a better one and present to the PMB. Of course, we need to get a lot of input and not play micromanaging, but basic things. And there's, I'd like to ask another thing. Wouldn't it be nice if we could put some improvements for shows that are having trouble instead of just, oh, you didn't do this, you have one more month, and you didn't do that. But some kind you know, every show can be improved. I believe that. With creativity sometimes. And so I think we really need to get our LSB programming council started. And I'm not really 100% happy with what was passed by the PMB, although I worked on it. Benito Diaz, we all worked on that. I think George Ryder was chair. That was 2012. We worked on that thing. But it's better than nothing, really. And we had stalled at KPFT because we could not get staff to run for staff positions in this program council. So I regret that. I think we should have just gone ahead and started even without staff. We should have done it. We shouldn't have just, you know, not done it because we couldn't get it perfectly to the letter. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Paulina requests a stack.
Yes, Paulina, go ahead.
I think that what we are probably all of us are struggling with is the following. What are the implementation methods? What are the enforcement methods? Because we have, you know, I think the national board, Nancy, you said, you know, you worked on many motions that have been passed, and then we never see them implemented. For instance, in KPFK currently does not have a program council. What is the implementation method? Because unfortunately, there is no, unlike in the relationship of employer to employee, there is no, there's really no way to make sure that enforcement happens. And that's what I want to hear from other folks on this call. How do you guys feel? What do you see as possible, implementation methods of whatever work that we do on this committee?
This is Nancy. I will say that we might even want to change the job description or add things to the job description of manager and program director. Because in that PMB mandated program council, the program director is part of it. I mean, so we have to work on enforcement. Yes, he's supposed to be there. And also in the job description, as you said last meeting, Paulina, you pointed out, yes, PD is supposed to be at the LSB meetings. And it's so easy now. I mean, you pick up a telephone, you can join a meeting. You don't have to drive out to somewhere for all of us, for everybody. I said my piece.
Those meetings are certainly painful, but still, it is part of the job description. You're absolutely right.
That's what democracy is. It's not so clean and easy.
Thomas, to that.
Yes, Thomas.
Well, I would suggest as a way to proceed that we maybe at the next meeting have absorbed these documents and can repackage them somehow. Repackage them. I don't know about, obviously, re-editing. If they pass, they pass. But repackage them and send them with a, most importantly, an introduction and an implementation plan to both general managers and program directors of everyone in the network, insisting that they should already have
been runners.
Hello? Okay.
Speaking, please mute.
Go
I was going to say, send them to these program directors and general managers. Obviously, with the PNB's imprimatur, you know, maybe get approval of, you know, hey, we're seeing a very inconsistent landscape across the network in terms of programmer rights, grievance procedures, et cetera. This is an attempt to, call back the herd into, a standard, as we said, standardized procedures, and ask, and as a way to implement the first step, not only informing GMs and PDs, but asking them to send us proof or send proof to the PNB of their implementation. One, that they sent the whole thing, they sent them these documents to the programmers. Two, that they've met and discussed these with programmers. In other words, a multi-step procedure that they can report back to us so we can at least have a sense that they are aware of it and that they're, if they say they're implementing it, we can obviously verify through alternative means. But we need to get their renewed assent to implementing these things. So in other words, repackage it, introduce it, create an implementation plan in which they would report back to us or the PNB of the steps, the three or four steps that we outline that they've taken. You know, send it to programmers, meet up with programmers, get their, get their comments. Now, that may be, in any case, how does that sound?
Yes, Polina?
Let's say at KPFK, we have the following issue, not all programmers have an updated contact information or email on file, or maybe the program director and the general manager may not have the correct email for all programmers. I'm serious. That's what's been happening as well. So communication really is difficult. So I don't know, but first, Thomas, just to your question, I'm glad your LSP passed. Passed it, but it would need to be passed by the PNB, and we would need to present it first. And first, we need to work on it to make sure that it is relevant for the whole network. And of course, obviously, we haven't done our homework, or at least I haven't done my homework for today. So I would respectfully request that we postpone consideration until the next meeting, and I promise to do my homework. Thank you.
Okay. We spent the majority of almost 1 hour on this. Not quite, because we started at 1:23. So we've spent around 40 minutes, a good 40 minutes. Yes. Anyway, this is real important, and I think one thing I'd like to put out that has not been mentioned yet is that we need input from I already said that, didn't I? I did. All right, sorry. We need input. So please be thinking about that. Okay, the next, shall we go on to the next one? Maybe we can work on, at the last meeting we were talking about.
Sure.
Yes? Who's that?
Nancy.
Oh, sorry, I just said sure. I spoke out of turn.
Nancy Thomas again. I just wanted one final thing. I was unaware that the other stations hadn't passed this or anything comparable to it. Like I said, this was from 2016. If that's true, then yes, I guess we have to take this to, the first step would be taking it back to the national board.
Yes, and with some teeth, because that's
what we're going to do. Exactly, with a well thought out, obviously repackaged and introduced. Like I said, it wouldn't. I just wasn't aware that this didn't have the mandate of the network already. So if that's the case, then we have to get that.
Well, we haven't had anything like this at KPFT. And we actually had a manager in the past history did not do any staff meetings for 6 years.
Yeah, well, I've heard those kinds of horror stories. And, yes, and obviously we're going to be stepping on some toes just with this. I guess we need to be ready for that.
Yes, and also I want to protect programmers. I don't want them to get in trouble or have retaliation for giving us information. That's why I'm putting out this postal box, even for, you know, give it to people, because we need their input. We need input of people. We've got, I know, two shows that were just not, one was knocked off KPFK, and it's being played at WBAI, but not at KPFK, and it's a good show, I thought. And then another is a show from KPFA, very important show needed for the people and off. But just these shows have to have some kind of way to have their day in court. It cannot be just unilateral. We got to do something. And if it means putting something to the National Governance Committee, to change, put something in their job descriptions that they must have staff meetings, that they must have some kind of process, fair process, and help in improving. I mean, we could do that. Okay, I would like to go to the next, unless somebody else wants to say something that hasn't been said yet. So. Oh, about the training. Yes, we sort of have to learn how to train, even though. Not all of us, six of us are not programmers, I think, or listeners. So any information, let's share it with each other, and we'll have maybe an update after a week by email and then see how much we have learned. Shall we go on to the next one?
Yes.
There was a motion, a suggestion of a motion to mandate the use of AudioPort. It's underutilized, and actually, I thought that I did not have the right to look at or listen to it, but actually, Paulina said we do, and there's lots of things on there, and Jack Devine from BAI was saying, a lot of young people who are not connected to Pacifica are making podcasts. Well, we got to scout these people. We've got to find them and get their programming on our air, because that's how we grow, by being inclusive of other people who are not related to Pacifica. Then they become part of Pacifica. So I don't know how we do this. I need to learn how do you scout on podcasts, how do you scout on other organizations that are doing the work, and they would love to have airtime, I'm sure. Can we make a plan? Can we do this in our committee? And start something, some checklist.
Point of information?
Yes.
Nancy, is anyone here comfortable with sort of introducing AudioPort to the rest of us in terms of a general outline of what it is and what it attempts to do? Are you Nancy, or is someone else more familiar?
I'm not a programmer. You have to have an account to download it. But all of us, Paulina said last time, that we can all look at it and listen to the programming. It's
I've looked at it myself, but I've never really tried to use it as a programmer. I'm not really a programmer, so But does someone else, you know, use it all the time?
This is Paulina. Paulina.
Yes. AudioPort is a nationwide and I would say international as well, hub for programming in general. All you need to do as a programmer to join is first of all, you have to be somehow affiliated with Pacifica. So it's for Pacifica affiliates, which is over 100 radio stations across the country that use it. You just need an account. I believe Otis McClay is the person, maybe, no, Ursula. I apologize, Ursula Rudenberg, the director of the affiliate program, would be the person to reach out to with any questions. I'm not the most competent person, but it's really not that complicated. All it is it isn't for the public in the sense that it's not a place where, let's say, you can direct your listeners to. It's for programmers to share content, and it's, you know, there's an agreement where anything that is posted to AudioPort is a fair use. So what's so useful about that? Well, there are over 100 affiliate radio stations across the country. Say, for instance, I'm producing a national show. I want to make sure that different topics are represented, different areas are represented. I can find a lot of stuff. Sorry, I'm having a hard time with my voice today. Technical details of it, you know, for instance, you if you're going to post something to AudioPort, you can't have any fund drive type programming on, right? So you want to make sure that that's not, you know, in your show. You need to follow a specific format in terms of sampling, you know, sampling frequency format, etc. But that's just for programmers. It's not difficult, but programmers are not using it. What is going on is that because maybe because of a lack of training for volunteer programmers, some folks find AudioPort daunting because they just, you know, maybe they are not even aware of its existence. And those who are aware of its existence, because I'm preaching it here and everywhere, right? They just don't see the use, you know. They don't see why would I look? So here I go into the station, I do my show, I'm done. Why would I spend extra time reformatting my show, getting the air check, making it ready for AudioPort, getting rid of any kind of fund drive stuff, and posting it there? Why would I want to do that? Well, the reason why you would want to do that is because it might get picked up by affiliate stations in Alaska, in Georgia, in the 50 states, and maybe even, you know, beyond, by everybody who actually participates in the whole affiliate network. So this is where the affiliate network comes in. And I would love, if Heather Gray is still on the call or anybody else from the affiliate network, I would love for them to comment on the utility or on the usefulness of AudioPort. If not, if they're not on, I will testify that it's a wonderful thing, but it's a programmer's tool, you see, because most of us on this call, most of you on this call are not programmers. So, you can come in and browse. You can even listen to a few seconds. I think it's like up to a minute of each broadcast, but you have to be a programmer in order to have access to everything that's there. But it's a wealth and breadth of shows, and we should make it grow. And everybody who is a programmer on a Pacifica radio station should, I think, yes, should, I don't know if required is, I mean, if it's a requirement, we can actually pass, but I think everybody should be using AudioPort. I think so. I mean, I don't know if I would be willing to actually mandate it, but I definitely would, I recommend it to everybody, absolutely.